Chapter 7. Dynamo. I tightened my grip on the wheel and then slid the car around the next curve. If it had been a poorly built car, we might have gone up on two wheels or even just spun out of control, but Miles had designed this little beauty, so it handled every curve that I could throw at her. And I had definitely put the poor thing to the test today. Eileen and I had been driving around in the armored car the whole damn day while we tracked down Mira and Hyena. Of course, I had done all of the driving myself, even though the beautiful android wanted to drive. It wasn't that I didn't trust her or anything like that. After all, I had just had a threesome with her and Miles, so I knew better than anybody what her body was capable of doing. Hell, she could have just operated it remotely, just like she could take over the controls from me at any time. But Eileen was considerate. For a robot, anyway. So she let me drive because she knew how much I enjoyed it. Or maybe it was just because she didn't want to take control without telling me and then cause us to have a wreck. Still, if we could ever track down and eliminate our two targets, then maybe I would let Eileen drive us back to the mansion. I knew she wanted to feel what it was like to drive like a human, but I just wanted to keep driving myself for now. Driving just helped me focus. It was like whenever I worked out in the home gym that Miles had built for me. It gave me something physical to do, so while I was completely focused on that task, I could let my mind wander. Sometimes that was because I wanted to relax and not think about anything. But then sometimes it was because it helped me plan something out. And right now, I needed to plan out what was going to happen when we finally caught up with Mira and Hyena. Since they both like to trick their opponents and make it seem like they were in half a dozen different places at once, they would be tricky to beat. But I trusted that Eileen would help us distinguish between what was real and what was fake. At least, I sure as fuck hoped so. I turned down a side street in Midtown Grayville and slowed down as we approached a red light. If we had been in active pursuit of the two supervillains, I would have just checked the sidewalk for any civilians, veered up onto it, and then raced past all the other stopped cars on our way to our targets. But we hadn't heard any signs of them for the last hour, and I was starting to get frustrated. We had tracked them almost all day, so now the sun was beginning to set, and we still seemed no closer to getting them than we had been when we first set out. Part of the reason was, of course, because their superpowers made people very confused about where the two villains were actually located. For every one helpful tip that we got, we had to sort through at least 20 bogus tips, whether on the news or on the police scanner. And whenever we got word of their actual location, it was always far enough away that by the time we got there, both supervillains had headed off to terrorize some other neighborhood in the city. I glanced up at the darkening sky above us and knew that we would have to get our targets soon if we planned to be successful tonight. I knew that Penumbra had already killed Hurricane before noon, and she had been on a solo mission. So if she could find and eliminate her villain, then we sure as hell could too. I had super strength, incredible reflexes, and the ability to detect when someone was telling a lie. And in the passenger seat next to me was an android who would never get tired, and who was damn near indestructible. Even if her body got somehow completely mangled, her consciousness could easily inhabit a different form, and then it would just be a matter of constructing more skin for her. I glanced over at Miles's robotic assistant again and shook my head. I couldn't believe how human she looked. Her dark, blonde hair hung down in unbridled, just-got-fucked waves over her shoulders, and her protective vest just barely buckled over her generous breasts. She didn't need the protection, of course, but Miles had wanted her to have some kind of barrier to protect her skin, so he had fitted her with a tactical vest. I had let her borrow some of my leggings, so she also had clothes to cover her bottom half. And Miles had given her an earlier prototype of some of my boots that came up just above her knees. Everything was black, just like all the rest of our outfits, and with her gun holstered at her hip, Eileen looked as sexy as she did badass. In fact, just about the only thing that reminded me that she was an android was her inability to understand sarcasm. That, plus her general lack of facial expressions. "Have you picked up anything that could help us yet?" I asked Eileen.
"Nothing definite,"
the android responded.
"There was some police radio chatter about the south end of Midtown, but then someone else confirmed that to be a false report."
Let's head there anyway. It's the best lead we've had in a while. I took the next left to head back to the southern end of Midtown, and I wondered how Miles and Norma were doing against Honeybee. So far, he hadn't told us anything, so I knew that they hadn't defeated her yet. Maybe they were also having trouble tracking their target down. But even if that was the case, I knew that Miles would find her sooner or later. Just like we would find Hyena and Mira before too long.
I will continue to scan all radio frequencies,
Eileen said. You're handy to have around, you know that?
I could just as easily scan frequencies from inside the mansion,
the android responded.
My location inside the car has nothing to do with that.
Right. I must have forgotten, I said as I rolled my eyes at how literally Eileen always took everything.
I am here for more than just remote backup,
Eileen replied.
I am here to test out my physical body against our enemies.
I'm sure you'll pass the test with flying colors. I saw how strong you were in our, fun with Miles.
And how flexible,
Eileen said.
And how fast my reflexes are.
Yeah, and all of that, too. I'm sure that will help against these two assholes. Whenever we find them, anyway.
I am eager to test myself against them,
the android replied.
I believe I can be just as quick in a fight as you are, perhaps even quicker. And my strength should be impressive against our targets.
Oh, I have no doubt. But how about we just focus on finding them first?
We will find them,
Eileen replied.
I am analyzing their pattern of movement even now, so my algorithm should be able to predict their next location shortly.
Perfect. Just tell me where to turn. I continued driving straight until the setting sun started to get in my eyes. Since I didn't have anywhere in particular that I was headed, I took the next right. But before I could go much farther, Eileen tapped her finger on the dashboard.
Take the second left,
the android said.
Based on my calculations, our targets should be in a small side alley less than 5 minutes from here.
That's specific? How do you know?
I now have enough data to guess their precise location. They like to cause destruction to a whole row of storefronts at a time. And if there are any people inside, then they kill or injure as many as they can before the cops show up.
And if there aren't any people inside?
Then they move on to another area until they find another row of stores with people inside,
the beautiful android said. Okay, then tell me the name of the street that I'm headed to.
It should be off of Jenkins, but before you reach Locust,
Eileen said.
I do not believe this alley has a name, but our targets will likely use it to access another row of storefronts on the next street over.
Whatever you say, Eileen, I replied and then took another turn. I just want to get there so we can finally put these assholes down. You know, kill them.
I am aware what the phrase put down means,
Eileen said. Of course. You are. Sue me for trying to be helpful. By the time I reached the alley off Jenkins, a report on the police scanner had confirmed what Eileen's algorithm already told us. Hyena and Mira had been spotted coming out of the side alley, and they had just broken into one of the storefronts on the next street over. I turned the armored car down the alley and stepped on the gas. As soon as we flew out the other side of the alley, I spotted the silver-haired supervillain Mira just up ahead. I aimed the car directly at her, made sure that all the civilians were out of the way, and then pressed the accelerator all the way to the floor. I should have sent Mira flying, or at least crushed her under the wheels, but instead the armored car just ran right through the silver-haired figure like she was made of nothing more than thin air. The moment the hood of the car hit her, she evaporated. Immediately I glanced in my side mirrors to see what had happened, but the supervillain had completely vanished. Fucking holograms. Eileen, can you do anything to track where they actually are?
They cannot be further than 100 yards away,
the android replied.
But I think we may have better luck on foot. It will be easier to sense them and pivot in time to respond.
Then let's take the fight to them, I said, and then started to slow the car down. On 3, 2...
Now,
Eileen said, and then the moment the armored car rolled to a halt, the android flung open the door and jumped out. I followed, just a second behind her, but as soon as the car door slammed shut, I heard laughter on every side of me. It seemed to come from every alley, from the glass of every broken storefront, and somehow it even sounded like it came from underneath the armored car itself. I dropped to my knees and checked under the car, even though I knew it was crazy to think that a supervillain had magically appeared underneath the car that I had only just rolled to a stop. There was nothing between the underside of the car and the pavement, of course, but the laughter just continued to bounce off every available surface on the street, and the longer it lasted, the more it sounded unhinged. Shit, I said with a glance at Eileen. That laugh is almost enough to make you think that we didn't kill Mayhem after all.
But we did kill him,
the android responded.
There is a death certificate, and a coroner's report to prove it. Would you like me to pull up either of those for you to view?
No, I said as I rolled my eyes. I was just saying that the laughter is creepy like Mayhem's was. I know we killed him.
Then why?
Eileen started. Ugh, don't worry about it, I said as I glanced up and down the street for any other sign of the two supervillains.
It is likely to be the laughter of Hyena,
the beautiful blonde android said.
His laughter, like the laughter of the animal he is named after, is said to intimidate his enemies. And we also know that he projects his voice to confuse them regarding his actual location.
Yeah, I could have guessed that, because I can't for the life of me figure out where the laughter's coming from right now.
Perhaps we should split up,
Eileen suggested.
I could go east, and you could head west down the street. And we can give a shout if we find them.
Ugh, I can't think of a better plan. Do you think they'll stick around long enough for us to fight them?
There are only three broken storefronts,
Eileen said as she brushed her dark blonde hair out of her face in a strangely human gesture.
They never leave a street until they have wrecked at least half a dozen places, and they are very much creatures of habit.
Then tell me if you need me, and I'll... But I didn't get to finish my sentence. Instead, I felt someone hurtle into me from the side, and even as they slammed me into a brick wall, I flung my elbow up into the bastard's nose before I even got a good look at him. As soon as I felt my attacker's blood drip down my elbow, I twisted away from the wall, dropped into a better fighting stance, and slammed my fist into the asshole's stomach this time. When he staggered backwards, I had just enough time to get a quick glance at him, and then he darted away so fast that I didn't even see which direction he had headed. This motherfucker was fast. I recognized Hyena's face from the files that we had stolen from the Shadow Knight's computer. He was a wiry bastard, and that was probably part of what made him so fast, along with his skin-tight suit that likely made him more aerodynamic. Other than his hair-raising laughter, his face was the only thing that really resembled his namesake, from the short, upturned nose to the pointed teeth that he had filed down until they looked like they belonged to a wild animal.
He took the alley that we came from,
Eileen said.
Shall I follow?
No, I've got him. I want you to stay alert for Mira. You're the only one who will be able to tell which versions of her are holograms and which one is real. I sprinted down the street to follow Hyena, but I had only gone half a dozen yards when I saw the first hologram. The second that a silver-haired woman appeared right in front of me, I recognized her as Mira. She raised a gun toward me with a smug little grin on her face, so I dove to the right. But as soon as I rolled back to my feet, the image of Mira had disappeared, only to reappear right at the entrance to the alley where I was headed. A little help, Eileen! I called out. The beautiful android appeared at my side just 2 seconds later, and I had to remind myself to stay focused and not be distracted by how insane the robot's reflexes were. Eileen sprinted like a goddamn Olympian, and I knew that she was only just getting started.
It is a hologram,
the android confirmed, but drew her gun from its holster anyway.
You can run right through her and continue your chase of Hyena.
Then good luck, I said, and then dashed forward again. Even though I trusted Eileen to tell the difference between the real and fake Mira, I still braced myself as I sprinted at the image of the supervillain right in front of me. I half expected the gun in her hands to fire and rip a hole straight through my throat, but sure enough, when I ran through her, I felt nothing. It didn't feel like I had run through mist or fog, and instead it just felt like a whole lot of empty air. I glanced over my shoulder and saw that the hologram had just started to flicker, but as I watched it, it disappeared completely. A second later, I heard gunshots from the street behind me, but I didn't even have time to check on Eileen because just then, I sensed Hyena in the alley with me. I felt him move toward me at an incredible speed, but he clearly didn't understand that fast reflexes were one of my powers. I dropped into a low squat just before his fist crashed into my jaw, and I kicked my leg out to catch him in the shin. I heard a curse at the same time that I felt a slight crunch underneath my boot, but then Hyena disappeared before I could get a second hit in. As his laughter sounded all around me, I checked in with Eileen over the comms. Everything okay?
I landed a bullet in her shoulder,
the android replied.
It was an excellent shot.
Is she dead?
No, she was able to disappear again,
Eileen said.
But there is a trail of blood now, so I will find her. Do you need assistance with Hyena?
No, I'll get him, I said, just as I spotted a flash of movement halfway up the fire escape across from me. I bounded across the alley and jumped up to grab the rails of the second-story landing. Immediately, I pulled myself up onto the fire escape itself, glanced up to see another flash of movement from the top of the fire escape, and then began to sprint up the stairs toward the roof. I wasn't sure if Hyena had a plan for the roof or not, but I was perfectly happy to let him continue right up to the top. There would be less surfaces up there for him to bounce his voice off of, so theoretically, it should be easier for me to track him down. Besides, I didn't imagine that there were that many surfaces for him to hide behind on top of a roof. Apparently, I was wrong. As soon as I stepped off the fire escape and onto the roof, I realized that this might have been a mistake. I had let him lead me right up here, and I probably should have known better. Of course, this asshole would play dirty, but still, I would find a way to turn it to my advantage. After all, that was what Miles would do. All around me was one of those rare rooftop gardens that didn't happen very often in any city, let alone Greyville. But even though I was surprised that of all of the places in the city, a rooftop garden was here in this neighborhood, I didn't focus on my surprise or on the beauty of the place for long. I was much more interested in all the hiding spots that it offered for Hyena. There were hedge statues all along one edge of the roof. There were several fountains scattered all throughout the plant. And there was row after row of shrubs and flowers that all looked like perfect places for a supervillain to hide. Ah, come on! I called as I slowly began to advance forward. Don't be shy! Don't you want to come out and play our little game? Shrill laughter echoed all around me, but I caught a glimpse of movement in the middle of the hedge statues on my left. I dashed forward instead of straight toward the movement, and then, at the very last second, I spun in a little semicircle and sprinted toward the hedge statues. I aimed my body at the statue a dozen feet in front of the place where I had seen movement, and sure enough, I rammed my body into Hyena's solid form before he could move. The force of my body slammed him to the ground, but he instantly twisted his neck to the side and sank his pointed teeth into the flesh just below my gauntlet. Fuck! I shouted and yanked my hand back. Hyena wiggled out from underneath me and disappeared toward a row of pink flowering shrubs on the other side of the garden. I should have guessed that the supervillain used his pointed teeth for more than just intimidation. But I didn't think that I had ever actually been bit by an opponent before. I shrugged. There was a first time for everything, and now I was better prepared for what he could throw against me. I sprang to my feet and ran back across the garden to follow him, and I noticed that his laughter was a little softer now, so I thought I might have knocked some air out of his lungs. Two more gunshots suddenly rang out from the street below.
I missed her, but she missed me too,
Eileen said.
I am pursuing her down the alley now.
My alley? See if you can drive her up to the roof, and then we can take them both on together.
Affirmative,
the android replied. At the same time that I heard sounds of a scuffle from the alley below, I heard Hyena's creepy laughter die down to a single spot behind a thick, flowering bush. I didn't even take the time to taunt him about how winded he must be, and instead I just grabbed the stone cherub from the closest fountain and hurled it straight at the bush. By the time it thudded against the ground, I had already reached the bush itself to see if I had landed a successful hit on Hyena, but the supervillain was already gone. Still, there were a few pointed teeth on the ground in the middle of a small pool of blood, so I figured that I must have done some decent damage. Now, both Hyena and Mira were wounded, so it had to be only a matter of time before we found them and then put them down. I didn't see any signs of movement now, and I also didn't hear any laughter from Hyena. He was either very wounded or he was trying to play it smart and keep quiet. The bloody teeth at my feet didn't seem to continue in any kind of trail, so he must have at least managed to hold the blood in his mouth, but that certainly didn't help me track him down. I glanced at the bite mark on my forearm, but thanks to my regenerative abilities, it had already started to scab over, so there would be no blood trail for Hyena or Mira to track me with. I was just about to check in with Eileen again to see about her progress with Mira, but then the air shimmered right in front of me. The silver-haired supervillain materialized out of thin air, but I knew it had to just be a hologram. I could see that her shoulder was bleeding from Eileen's gunshot, and as she raised her own gun toward me now, I wondered what it must be like to tell the difference between the real and fake versions of Mira.
"Get down!"
Eileen shouted from somewhere on the roof behind me. I plunged to the ground in some rooftop version of a belly flop, just as two gunshots fired from somewhere to my left. I rolled onto my back in time to see the hologram Mira disappear, and then I saw what had to be the real version of her 24 yards away. Mira held the same gun that her hologram did, of course, but now she had a deeply disappointed look on her face. She had used her hologram to trick me into thinking that I wasn't in any danger, while she had secretly been aiming at me from somewhere else.
"Thanks. Hyena's missing some teeth, so you might be able to find his blood up here."
I pushed myself up to my feet and started toward Mira, but Eileen was already there. The android sprinted across the distance between them as fast as I could have, and then she attacked like she had already plotted out her next 5 moves. I knew that we were in the middle of a fight, but just for a second, I let myself watch the beautiful android in action. Eileen seemed just about as fast and strong as I was, but she didn't fight like a human at all. Instead, she fought like... well, she fought like Eileen. Since she didn't actually have human joints and muscles, she wasn't limited by a normal range of motion, so as she started to fight Mira in hand-to-hand combat, it looked like she just kept dislocating every joint to increase the force behind each blow or to throw the supervillain off guard. "Use your gun!" I shouted as I wondered why the android had decided to holster it at her waist again.
"I will,"
Eileen said calmly.
"But I wanted to test my abilities first."
"Then just make sure you keep Mira occupied, because I still have to find Hyena."
"Try the bird bath,"
the android said as she easily blocked another blow from the supervillain.
"Mira glanced in that direction a moment ago."
I hoped that Hyena hadn't heard the android's warning, but I sent all my power into my legs anyway, and then sprinted forward with so much speed that I damn near barreled right through the bird bath itself. Just before I reached it, Mira projected another image of herself in front of me, but I knew that just meant that I was close to finding her partner. I charged through the hologram and found Hyena cowering in the shrubs behind the birdbath. I grabbed him by the collar of his skin-tight suit, jerked him into the air, and started to curve my other fist into a left hook to try and knock out the rest of his teeth. The bastard slammed his open palm into my throat with such force that I actually dropped him. Then I stumbled backward from the blow, but he immediately followed it up with a side kick to the front of my neck. I coughed, jumped completely clear of him, and then looked up to see how he had managed to get in such a strong hit. Only then did I realize that the wiry supervillain wasn't wearing any shoes. Instead, his legs ended in huge, hairy feet that looked like they could knock a man out if they caught him at the right angle. At least he had only kicked me in the throat instead of the head. That bastard had jackrabbit feet, and I'd be damned if they didn't fucking smell like it, too. Hyena staggered away, but he still had one hand pressed against his bleeding mouth, so he wasn't able to move very fast. He glanced over his shoulder at Mira, but even though the silver-haired supervillain tried to send one hologram after another to distract me, she must have known that they were pointless. I was locked onto my target now, and I wouldn't let him escape.
"Let's switch,"
Eileen hissed into the comms.
"To confuse them, and so I can try my hand against Hyena."
"Yeah, we can do that." Hyena suddenly dropped down into a squat and then used his powerful feet to do a backflip right over my head. He must have been trying to get back to his partner, but two could play that game. When he was directly above me, I propelled myself up into the air and slammed my fists into his kidneys like they were little punching bags. Then as Hyena crumpled and started to drop down on top of me, I grabbed him around his wiry waist and then flung him across the rooftop toward Eileen and Mira. "Incoming!" I growled into the comms. Eileen gave the silver-haired supervillain one final uppercut before she twisted around to face the flying hyena. As the android reached out her arms to catch him, or maybe just to crush him, I sprinted toward them to take out Mira before she could recover from Eileen's last blow. Mira raised her gun with a shaky arm to fire at the android, but before she could pull the trigger, I was on top of her. I slammed my left shoulder into the center of her chest, so she immediately gasped for air and then fell backward off the roof and into a clump of tiny white flowers below with a thud. I followed her down to the ground, caught her hand when she tried to twist her gun around to shoot me, and then bent her wrist back until her gun was pointed at her own head. Her wrist snapped from the pressure, but even though she cried out, she just snarled at me with her next breath.
"You think any of this will bring back those idiots that we killed?"
Mira laughed.
"You think we won't do the same thing the moment that we break out of prison? It took me less than a day to fool the guards last time."
"Maybe you haven't heard," I said as I pinned my knee into the middle of her chest to keep her still. "We aren't like the Shadow Knight."
"Then who?"
"We're with the evil genius,"
Eileen said behind me, and then something crunched behind me like a half a dozen bones all broken at once. I didn't pause long enough to look back and see what had happened to Hyena. Instead, I pushed Mira's wrist back a little further until the barrel of her gun was pressed up against her temple, and then I slipped my hand up and pulled the trigger for her. Her brains exploded out the other side of her skull and painted all the tiny white flowers a dark shade of red. As the little chunks of her blood-stained gray brains settled into the flower bed, I wiped her blood off my face and glanced back at Eileen. The android was coated in an even thicker spray of blood than I was, and it only took one look to figure out why. Hyena's corpse, or at least what was left of it, was sprawled in a heap on the ground at Eileen's feet. But in the android's hand was the supervillain's fucking spinal column. She had ripped it right out of his back.
"Holy fuck, Eileen, how did you... Fuck me!"
"I already did that last night,"
the beautiful android replied as she blinked her blue eyes at me.
"But if you would like to have another threesome with my creator, then I would be happy to participate."
"I meant, how the fuck did you rip out his spine?"
"I inserted my fingers into his skin at the base of his cervical vertebrae,"
Eileen said.
"And then I dug in until I had them wrapped around his spine. After that, I just had to twist and pull hard enough to snap it. And it came out quite cleanly after that."
"Oh, that is impressive."
"It is also impressive that you forced Mira to shoot herself,"
Eileen said.
"She would have shot you if she had the chance."
"I know." I sighed as I glanced down at the supervillain's broken skull. "It's not like they didn't have it coming."
"If there's nothing else, we can leave now before the police show up and we have to explain anything,"
Eileen said. "We can't just leave their bodies up here. The police won't know where to look, and then they'll just rot."
"We can drop them down onto the street,"
the android said. "Yeah, I guess so. The cops can figure it out from there, and I really don't feel like having to talk to them about anything."
"The police are usually on our side, but not always,"
Eileen said as she bent down to pick up Hyena's corpse in her free hand.
"So, yes, it would be easier if we just left now."
Eileen started to carry the corpse and the spinal column over to the edge of the roof, so I picked up Mira and her gun before I followed the android. Once we reached the side of the roof, I tossed the silver-haired supervillain over the side at the same time Eileen dropped her armful. So then both bastards landed on the street below with a heavy thud. As little pools of blood started to spill out across the street underneath them, I turned back to the android and nodded. "That's our cue."
"No regrets?"
Eileen asked, with a curious tilt of her head.
"You appear to be a bit quieter than usual."
"I know they're supervillains, and they deserve to die. At least I know that now. But I still just killed someone, so, I don't know. It just takes me a minute to process things, you know?
I do not understand that.
Eileen replied.
They were our targets, and we killed them. Isn't that a good thing?
Oh, it is a good thing. Sometimes humans just need a moment to think about something that they've done, like killing someone.
Miles does not need a moment to think after he kills a supervillain.
The android responded. That's because Miles is different, I said with a smile. Nothing affects him quite the same way that it affects other people.
I have certainly observed that to be true,
Eileen said.
Have you processed enough for us to return to the car? Or should we continue to just stand here together?
No, it's fine. We can go now. I'll let you drive and I can process on the way. We hurried down from the roof and headed back to the armored car. By the time we reached it, a few brave civilians had come out of their storefronts to see what was going on. So I just waved and told them they were safe now, but to wait inside until the cops showed up. As soon as Eileen slid behind the wheel, I hopped into the passenger seat, shut and locked the door, and buckled my seatbelt. I looked over to see that the android had also buckled her seatbelt, and I smiled at the gesture. She was just about goddamn indestructible, but she was also clearly protective of her new skin. So I guessed that she wanted to take every reasonable precaution to keep it in one piece. The android cranked the armored car and immediately shifted forward, so we flew down the road and zigzagged to avoid any people who appeared in our path. I will say one thing, I sighed as I leaned back into my seat. It's a lot fucking easier to deal with villains when we just kill them. Ironically, it's actually less cleanup.
Why is that ironic?
Eileen asked.
That's just a fact.
I said with a glance over at the android. Maybe I should ask Miles to program you with a little bit of sarcasm.
My creator likes me the way I am,
the beautiful android responded. Sorry, that was also sarcasm. So how did you like your first experience on a mission in physical form?
Oh, I would very much like to do it again,
Eileen said as she slowly blinked her long eyelashes again.
I would like to hunt down every single supervillain in Greyville.
And after we finish with them?
Then, I would like to return to Pinnacle City,
the android replied,
and hunt down every single warden who follows Optimo, until we finally hunt down Optimo himself.
Yeah, I said, and flexed my fists in my lap. I'd like that too.